But we're going to spend some time talking more about the Rockets' reaction. We'll welcome our friend Patrick Harrell. The website is called thedreamshake.com. He's the managing editor. That's the SB Nation site for Houston Rockets fans. Patrick, good to have you on with us. Give me your immediate reaction when you heard the news that Dwight had made it official he's going to be a Houston Rocket.
Well, thanks for having me. My initial reaction was, okay, when is he going to officially sign this deal? When the word started to come out, it was a report from Sam Amick of USA Today, and then there were reports saying, oh, he's going to waffle on his decision. Oh, he hasn't agreed. He hasn't told the teams yet. And I was sort of on edge for about 4 or 5 hours there until he did officially, announce to the Houston Rockets and to the Lakers that he was planning on joining the Rockets. Obviously, until he signs anything, it's not official. But at this point, we're feeling, starting to feel pretty good. But it was definitely skepticism at first, just because of everything that's gone on with Dwight in the last few years, with his waffling over his contract in Orlando when he went back and forth before signing up for an extra year in Orlando. You just have to wait for the ink to dry before you really accept it and kind of let loose with the emotion after the decision.
Is some of what went on Friday, some of the initial reports, etc., is that unfair to Dwight Howard, in your opinion, or not?
Oh, I absolutely think it's unfair to Dwight. It was a report from ESPN. Chris Broussard was the main guy pushing this report, and I think it was mostly just agent-driven. Dan Fagan's agent would be set to make almost $1 million more if he were to sign in Los Angeles. He gets 2% of whatever Dwight makes, and he gets that fee up front. And unlike Dwight, who benefits from the lack of state taxes in Texas, Fagan's fee, or whatever you want to call it, isn't subject to the same rules that Dwight's is. And so his fee is pretty much set, and it's based on what Dwight makes over the salary. So when Fagan was set to make $30 million, or when Howard was set to make $30 million more, and Fagan set to make about $1 million more, he's really pushing for Dwight to go to LA, and so he was pushing that report out to ESPN. It wasn't Dwight; it was the people around him. Dwight, from what I can gather, was pretty much set on Houston. He was flying back to Los Angeles to let Los Angeles know that he was going to the Rockets. For all the criticism that Dwight gets, I think he did end up handling this process very well, but his agent and the people around him cast a bad light on it with that report.
We know how difficult the West is. Houston, 145 games, was an 8 seed last year in the West. Where does this move right now as the roster sits? We both know they might make changes, and we'll get into some of that. But as the roster is currently constructed, where does it move the Rockets in the West pecking order?
I think this comfortably puts them in the top four, but I wouldn't vault them past the Thunder, Spurs, or Clippers right now. I think they're in that range, but I think they're probably a little bit of a step down from the Clippers, the Spurs, and the Thunder, just because we've seen so many times how long it takes a team after some widespread changes to gel. The Heat, after adding LeBron and Bosch to Wade, they still took a full season before they were really kicking into gear. And the Rockets, they do have a big question mark at the power forward spot. I suspect that they will address that, and we'll probably talk about that in a bit, but they're going into the season as it stands right now with a pair of young power forwards who weren't even in the playoff rotation last year. I don't think that Morey wants to take a risk on punting his sold season on the power forward spot, but right now, I think as it currently stands, they're probably about fourth in the West.
Yeah, no, we'll talk about it right now. Certainly there's a hole there. They went small at times, great with Carlos Delfino, who, of course, signed with Milwaukee. Josh Smith is off the table. There was a lot of clamoring about a potential sign-and-trade deal there. So what do they have at that power forward spot that you talk about that there's an enormous hole right now on the roster?
Well, they have Terrence Jones and Donatas Motiejunas. Terrence Jones was a first-round pick last year, and Motiejunas, a first-round pick 2 years ago, who came over last year from Europe. They both showed signs of being NBA-caliber power forwards, but they couldn't put it together consistently enough to stay in the rotation come playoff time. I was able to talk to Patrick Beverley, who's the backup point guard with the Rockets, who's at Summer League today, over the phone, and he said that he's really high. The Rockets are really high on both those guys, and they feel comfortable with those guys going into the season. But at the same time, as an unbiased observer from outside, it definitely seems like that's a little bit more posturing to cover up the fact that there's a pretty big hole there. If they were so high on them, they would have been in the playoff rotation. And now you're going into the season with Jones, Mariunas, and then nothing. And so you're either counting on Omar Oshik, who is a true center, a seven-footer with absolutely no skills outside of 4 feet away from the basket, to play power forward if those guys don't stand up. And so that's why I think that Morey will do some moves, probably moving Oshik despite whatever they're saying right now. I believe that Oshik will be on the move, probably for a power forward that fits well alongside Howard.
All right, let's talk about that a little bit. Oshik made it very clear. He was the backup to Joakim Noah a couple years back, did an outstanding job in that role for the Chicago Bulls in for Tom Thibodeau, and then started, as I recall, all the games this year as the starting center for Houston, in which was a team that did make the playoffs. But he made it clear over the weekend, following the news that Dwight Howard had committed to Houston, he's formally asked the team to trade him. Over the weekend, Kevin McHale, the head coach of Houston, has said, we'll get that all handled, and you know he's going to be a Rocket and enjoy his role. But you think that they will move him?
I do. It's a fluid situation as this whole thing has developed. Omar Oshik is a consummate pro. If they don't trade him, he's not going to dog it. He's going to play his hardest like he did in Chicago, like he did with the Rockets last year. But I suspect they will move him just because I think that the value of what he can bring in is a lot higher than what he's bringing to the table right now. It's not about a trade request or anything. It's just purely based on his fit. He's a really great luxury to have. He's one of the best defensive centers in the league. He put up something like 11-11 with the Rockets last year. And behind Howard, who's had some injury concerns, having him would be really great. But looking at that hole at power forward and finding a guy who can fit really well next to Howard, I think they are going to find that the options out there to play alongside Howard are definitely superior to Oshik. And so right now they're saying, we don't want to move Oshik. We are happy with Oshik as a backup center and as a guy who can play next to Howard. But that's really just posturing again. I think that Morey's getting some lowball offers for Oshik. There's talk about the Trailblazers trying to sign and trade J.J. Hickson a few days ago for Oshik. Offers of that ilk. And I think that they're going to hold on to him because there isn't really a tremendous urgency, even though they do want to make a deal. There's 2 or 3 months left in the offseason, and I suspect that he will be moved before the end of the offseason, but I wouldn't expect it to be in the next few weeks.
Kevin McHale was a great player. The head coach of the Houston Rockets was a great player in the NBA. The one thing I've said about Dwight, whether people want to challenge or disagree, but it's my observation of watching him, is that this past year was a very difficult year for him, coming off what was a really solid end of career in Orlando, albeit non-winning one, as far as the last time he played with the Magic in a playoff game. They were being swept by Atlanta, but they'd been to the finals, the Eastern Conference finals after that. He was obviously the marquee player. Jameer Nelson and he were co-captains, but pretty much everybody else a role player. But I thought Dwight never did get as much out of his offensive game as that he could. To me, it's a step back in watching him last year, and that's not just the back problem and the injury to overcome, but the change in environment and in personnel, especially with a superstar around him like Kobe Bryant, Paul Gasol, where that team really never did mesh, a lot of injuries that impacted that. So what's your hope or take on what Dwight Howard needs to do to help grow Houston to be a legitimate contender in the NBA West?
Well, I think that on offense, D'Antoni never really utilized Howard in the best way possible. Howard really is at his best running the high pick and roll. You saw it in Orlando when he was running with Hedo Turkoglu, Jameer Nelson too. And then he went to L.A. where they had a pair of big men in the middle, and they ran dual, you know, high-low sets with Pau Gasol at the high post and Howard at the low post, and they never really were able to build a lot of chemistry. And D'Antoni really didn't change the offense from the beginning of the year to the end of the year, a lot of that having to do with the fact that D'Antoni joined mid-season. But Kevin McHale has shown an ability to change his offense for what he has. And last year he had a young team with a guard-dominated offense, and he turned that team into a high-paced offense that scored a lot of layups and three-pointers. With Howard, I think that they're going to tailor that offense a little bit more towards him, giving him some looks in the low post, getting him free one-on-one down low. And I think that Howard is going to benefit a lot from McHale's influence. Howard, at this point, he's 27. I don't think he's going to become a low-post savant anytime soon. But I think with under the tutelage of McHale, who was the arguably the most skilled pivot in NBA history, he's going to get a lot more consistent coaching, a lot more consistent moves, and just work on getting one or two go-to moves. He had that running hook shot he liked to move, liked to use in Orlando that we didn't really see very much of in Los Angeles, and I suspect that McHale will take him back to the moves where he had success in Orlando and try to just build upon them.
You brought Go ahead, continue.
He knows so well how to score in the post, and he's really going to try to get Howard to basically back to where he was in Orlando.
You brought it up briefly in the beginning. Is there any concern amongst Rocket fans about Dwight Howard's health as he enters this mega contract?
I think you have to be a little bit concerned. Just, you know, going from the last year, at the end of his year in Orlando, he had the back issue, and I don't think that injury was fully healed until 3 or 4 months into this season. And then the shoulder issue cropped up again. Howard gets hit a lot. People hit him hard. They hit him a lot. They foul him a lot just because he's such a poor free throw shooter. And the fact that his body has broken down a little bit in the last year or so is really concerning. I think you saw at the end of the season last year that he did regain his form. The last couple of months of the season, he was putting up 19 and 14, 19 and 13. Numbers that you can hope to expect in a full season, and definitely improvements over the past. But I do think that that concern of his health has to be weighing heavily on the Rockets. But at the end of the day, signing Howard was just a move they absolutely had to make.
You talked about Omer Asik and the possibility of moving him. What about Jeremy Lin? There's been a lot of talk about the relationship he has with his teammates and his future in Houston being a big question mark. But the point guard market certainly has changed since they've signed Dwight Howard, with a number of players signing elsewhere. There's still a couple of other guys out there. Is it a possibility he could still be moved?
I think that as the days goes on, that possibility gets a lot less and less. At the beginning of free agency, there was talks of them moving Lin in a deal that would land Kyle Durant to the Rockets, who was signed with the Mavericks. Essentially, the Rockets would like to have a less ball-dominant guard alongside Harden, a guy who can shoot a little better, so they can have that sort of Orlando-esque offense where they have Howard in the middle and four guys spacing the floor around him. With that said, I think that Lin, as the months or the days have gone along, is going to stay in Houston just because the options to replace him are becoming few and far between. I don't see a legitimate option out there to trade him for. I don't think that Jeff Teague would interest the Rockets, and I definitely don't think that Jeremy Lin interests the Hawks, and the same goes for Brandon Jennings and the Bucks. And the free agent and the trade options are just as poor. Lin in April, I believe, shot 45% from 3-point line. In March, he was something like 39%. He improved steadily over the season. I don't think he's a perfect option. I don't think he's the best option alongside Howard. But as it stands right now, I don't think the Rockets are going to find a superior player to play with Howard, to play with Harden. And so I think Lin's going to end up sticking around.
Patrick Harrell, our guest, the SB Nation website for Houston Rockets fans, he's the managing editor, is thedreamshake.com. Interesting read as it pertains to all this news surrounding Dwight Howard and Houston in securing him. Make it official on Wednesday. But the last thing from me, I don't think there's much doubt the biggest obstacle of Dwight Howard's year in L.A. and his desire to go back was his relationship with Kobe Bryant. And with no disrespect to Kobe, it's now moving on. We live in a world in the NBA of my team, my guys. Dwight had that here as the centerpiece of the Orlando Magic. James Harden has kind of earned that in his 1 year there. Their ability to coexist, is that an issue at all, in your opinion, as this team moves forward?
I don't think so. The two of them are friends. They've gotten to know each other a lot over the last couple of years. You know, they're going out to the clubs in Houston lately. They really do fit well on the court as a pick-and-roll threat, Harden being the handler and Howard being the roll man. And Harden isn't that big, obnoxious personality that Kobe is. Kobe really wants to be the alpha dog at all times. You saw him push away Shaq. Now he's pushed away Howard to a certain extent during his career. And on the other hand, Harden's a much more laid-back guy. I don't think that he has the same competitiveness as Kobe, which hurts him to a certain extent. But I think that he, as a personality, definitely fits a lot better with Dwight. He's not the complete clown that Dwight is, but he is a little bit more laid-back. He is a little bit less of a dominant figure. And so I think that them together are really going to be a good match, both on the court and off it, chemistry-wise and just basketball-wise. And so I don't think there really is any concern there. I'm looking forward to seeing the two of them on the court together in October.
Hey, good stuff. We appreciate your visit with us periodically. We enjoy reading your work at the website, thedreamshake.com. So thanks for the visit today. We'll look forward to talking with you again soon, okay?
All right. Thanks, guys.
Patrick Harrell, our guest on Tuck and O'Neill, bottom of the hour. We get the L.A. Laker perspective. A great writer at ESPN Los Angeles, Dave McMenamin, joins Tuck and O'Neill coming up bottom of the hour. Mike has the day's top stories in an update. We continue. Sports Talk 1080, The Team Orlando.